from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the noes are 49. The motion is agreed to.
That was from this morning. The Senate voted to end debate on President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. Welcome to the Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and indeed a pleasure to be with you today. Yes, earlier today, the Senate voted 51-49 to advance Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. We're now in a 30-hour period of debate. A final vote is expected sometime late tomorrow afternoon, and in more drama, several hours later, Senator Susan Collins of Maine took to the floor to make her intentions known. Listen.
The facts presented do not mean that Professor Ford was not sexually assaulted that night or at some other time, but they do lead me to conclude that the allegations failed to meet the more likely than not standard. Therefore, I do not believe that these charges can fairly prevent Judge Kavanaugh from serving on the court.
She went on to say that she indeed plans to cast a vote in favor of Judge Kavanaugh tomorrow. And now we know West Virginia Senator Manchin will also vote. So it seems like the votes are there. And meanwhile, all of this drama going on, the unemployment rate fell to its lowest rate in half a century, dropping to some 3.7%. In just a moment, we will talk with Congressman Ted Budd of North Carolina. He was at an event this afternoon with FRC Action Bus Tour in Mocksville, North Carolina. And the FRC Action Bus, Values Bus, is driving throughout the country to encourage and equip voters to vote their values on November 6th. And here's an important question. Why do textbooks matter? There's a growing concern how liberals are rewriting the history students learn in our public schools. Later in the show, we'll talk with Daniel Oliver. He's the chairman of the board of the Education and Research Institute. And of course, we will take your calls. And in just a few short weeks ago, people of North Carolina and South Carolina, as you know, they weathered the devastating impacts of Hurricane Florence. Tremendous, tremendous damage. And as you also may know, Samaritan's Purse is a trusted disaster relief ministry run by our good friend Franklin Graham. Their teams have been on the ground since day one, serving as hands and feet of Jesus to those in need in the hardest hit areas. And we have been very excited to partner with them. And when we know about these different needs, we know that the money that's being donated is really going to those in need. You can text FRC Relief, all one word, no spaces, FRC Relief, to give a generous donation to hashtag 41444, the pound sign 41444. That's text FRC Relief to hashtag 41444. We have a generous supporter of the Family Research Council that has matching dollar for dollar, so your dollar gets doubled and you can help folks in the Carolinas during this difficult time. Now, of course, you can find all this great content on TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReports. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, the economy just keeps on getting better. The unemployment rate fell 0.2 percentage point to 3.7%, the lowest level since December, you ready for this, 1969, and 0.1 percentage point below expectations. And right now, we're going to catch up with the Values Bus Tour, the FRC Action Values Bus Tour, project of FRC Action, the legislative affiliate arm of the Family Research Council fighting for the American family. With us now is Congressman Ted Budd. He represents the 13th Congressional District of North Carolina, and he serves on the House Financial Services Committee and a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Budd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much. I understand you've been with the FRC Action Values Bus Tour. How's it going out there?
Well, it was great. You know, it was an unusually hot October day, but the FRC Action Bus and the team, they were in great spirits. We came in, you know, this is the early part of a multi-state tour that you've been describing and listening in, and we're actually able to sign the side of the bus, but, you know, it's talking about to pray, to vote, and to stand, and just really grateful for J.C. Church. I want to give him a shout-out. You know, he spoke today about the importance of voting, of praying, and standing up for you know, our Judeo-Christian values. And it was very refreshing to have him in town, and real honor to participate with FRC Action. So thank you.
Did you put your John Hancock on the bus?
I hope it wasn't too big. Yeah. I'm glad there was enough. I'm glad it was a big bus. Let's just say that.
Well, let me ask you this. Having said that, you know, calling people to stand and pray, and I know you're a person of faith. How are you holding in there with the contentiousness and the spirit of, you know, so much incivility going on right now? But I know you're out talking with people and having town halls, and what are you seeing?
Part of the thing that keeps me going is, of course, I'm not in the swamp right now. I am back in working in North Carolina. And by the way, I just appreciate you you supporting those in the eastern, southeastern part of the state, with so much devastation from the hurricane recently. I was down there, so we certainly need their prayers down there and the support. So thank you for what FRC is doing to support them. But really, it kind of goes back to what we said, Russ, early in the car in the call. Is people are so many people come up to me and I take it very, very seriously. And they say, we are praying for you, we support you. And just that encouragement, I don't take that lightly a bit. None of us ever pray enough, and so we sure try. But, you know, I rest well, wake up most mornings, spend time with the Lord before we get going, and it's just a real joy to be able to do this. And I realize, you know, ultimately, I play to an audience of one. Yes, I've got 750,000 constituents. I've got a family of five that I take care of, but at the same time, you know, I really, my main audience is the Lord himself, so I just have to make sure I please him, and that tends to take care of everything else.
Indeed it does. Now, before we talk about the economy, it looks like, you know, the votes are coming around here on Judge Kavanaugh, and I know you've been watching that as well.
I have, as much as we can, between stops and barbecue restaurants here in North Carolina. We'll live stream the Senate floor and see what's happening. You know, we think we're going to get him seated. It's time. I still get safety alerts from the Capitol Police telling me about all the obstruct and resist and mm-hmm. all the, you know, the protests going on in the Senate offices. And it's, you're right, it's crazy up there. And really, there's not an agenda other than to obstruct and to resist. And we're really about getting Judge Kavanaugh seated, and we think that's going to happen pretty soon. You know, we're so glad that Senator Collins, Senator Manchin are yes votes, and really, it's what the man's been through. We know a lot of people have been praying for him, so thanks to all that have been.
You know, I've been at this business for 40-some years, and I like hanging out with the average folks. And the average folks are watching things like the unemployment rate. And we're learning today that it hit a 3.7% rate, the lowest level in half a century. I don't know if folks really understand. That's a really big deal.
Yeah, we were putting men on the moon in 1969, and right around that time. And, you know, that's been a really long time since we've done that. Look, we've got a business-friendly environment. We're hiring people. Ivanka Trump actually came into the district 2 days ago to highlight different career options, because while we're unemployment is so low, and I've been with a lot of contractors and skilled tradesmen today, they can't find workers. And when we're trying to do renovations, we're trying to build, trying to revitalize a lot of our infrastructure, and we can't find enough workers. So we've mm-hmm. got to tell people that there's an option for them to do one-year certifications, two-year degrees. And these are great careers for people that are fairly high-paying jobs. We've got 6.7 million unfilled jobs in particular. So we've got to have other alternatives than just these four-year, very expensive degrees. Now, those are for some people, but not everybody. And I'm really glad that President Trump's daughter came into town to talk about some of the workplace options that, and workforce options and education that people have.
Yeah, I was reading about the roundtable with Ivanka Trump, and bravo, that sounds like a great opportunity to get together. And, you know, I was just telling somebody this morning, you know, you were mentioning the swamp, a different kind of, you know, slush. If I had to do it all over again, I think I might have been a plumber or something like that because, you know, there's a lot of work out there, and you're right, college isn't for everybody.
There was a great book written years ago, The Millionaire Next Door. I've read it, and it talks about most millionaires have a ladder rack on their truck. You know, it's that's, you don't think about. It's not Wall Street. It's plumbers. It's contractors. It's so many different folks out there that are skilled trades, and and electricians, and we're just so thankful for them. That's the neighborhood I really grew up in. Is mm-hmm. I've got at the end of my road, I've got an electrician. I've known him since I was 5 years old. And he's still our electrician, and plumbers just down the street. And so I learned a lot from them. But these people have they live very modest lives, but they are, they've done very well. And, you know, that's what our country needs more of right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll often tell some of the younger folks that I hang out with, there's not an app on your phone that can fix your leaky sink or change a tire or tow your truck. You might be able to call a tow truck, but there just isn't an app that will fix things, and we're going to have a void, I'm afraid, of just basic services that you're talking about.
You're right. And, you know, that's why we had the feature at NASCAR Technical Institute, which doesn't just produce people for the NASCAR industry, which is so popular here in my district, but it's also for Ford, GM, Toyota, other dealers, Mercedes, BMW. And these people, they make nearly... After 1 and 2 years degrees, they make nearly $100,000 a year. So those are phenomenal jobs with no school debt at the end. This school that we were at yesterday or 2 days ago with Ivanka, and by the way, she was really impressive with the torque wrench tightening the mains on the on the drive shaft. So it was pretty impressive. But anyway, she was promoting all these workforce options, and they graduate people every 3 weeks at this school.
That is very impressive. Well, you know, Congressman Budd, thank you so much. I know you're busy out there on the road. God bless you. We appreciate your service, and we appreciate you taking time to join us on Washington Watch today.
Russ, thank you so much for having me here. Thanks for also, again, a shout-out to the FRC Action Team and their bus, and pray to keep them safe on the road, and appreciate all you're doing up there, Russ. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. That was Congressman Ted Budd of North Carolina. Great, great man. Good to get caught up with the FRC Action Bus and to talk about the economy and the good things that are going on. Well, coming up next, reports show that a growing number of textbooks are being rewritten in a way that students are learning the American history that liberals want them to know. When we return, we'll talk with Daniel Oliver. He's the chairman of the board of the Education and Research Institute. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. It's Friday. Good to be with you. Don't go away.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
It's Friday. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. A noted education expert and researcher is asking, why is history being rewritten for Snowflake High School students? Students are learning the American history that liberals want them to learn and want them to know. Joining us now is Daniel Oliver. He's the chairman of the board of the Education and Research Institute. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, I understand you're out in the beautiful areas there of Massachusetts, and the leaves are turning all kinds of colors, and it's a beautiful time of year.
Just a glorious day. We'll go apple picking tomorrow, make apple pie tomorrow night with the grandchildren. It'll be simply wonderful. I can't wait.
And that's just a very basic thing that you're going to go do. But I would imagine, you know, even something like that, there are people that would want to kind of change what that means and how important that is. And to segue just a little bit, Daniel, you are talking about textbooks being rewritten and editorializing and not presenting the facts. Tell us about it.
Yes, well, I guess it's well known, really, since the time of Howard Zinn, who wrote textbooks, I suppose, starting 40 years ago. Howard Zinn was a communist, and I've said he was not the under-the-bed kind of communist. He was an out-and-out communist, and he wrote American history, wrote a major American history textbook, which influenced a generation of American history teachers and American history textbook writers. So now we have a whole bundle of American history textbooks out there, which give a socialistic, big government, anti-free market, essentially anti-American view of American history. We went out and found what we think is one of the four most widely used of those textbooks. It's called the American Pageant, and we've done a critique of it and put it up online at trueamericanhistory.us. And it is just an amazing book, full of some inaccuracies, but also tremendous bias, basically a left-wing, big government, socialist-type bias. And that's what American students are learning, particularly in the case of the American pageant, people who take the AP courses, because this is widely used in AP courses, and we're trying to do something about it.
And you know, Daniel, this is one of them topics I can get really cranked up about. I was one of the few people in my family that actually made it to college and got through not only an undergraduate, but got a master's degree. And I'm one of those guys that always had to work harder than the person next to me. There were, you know, just that guy or gal that could just kind of glance at the book and get straight A's. Well, that wasn't me. Always had to work really hard, study hard. And so I've never taken my education for granted. And yeah. And so I get a little irritated when I hear about these stories. And as we're seeing now in this culture, so many academics are left of center and liberal, and there's a lot of money in textbooks, isn't there? So a lot of motivation. What kind of content are you seeing that's being so extremely changed?
Well, go back to the money part. First of all, the textbook we critiqued, the American Pageant, we critiqued the 12th edition, which came out in 2002. There have been four editions, if you can believe it, since that time. The 16th edition was put out in 2015, and I looked on Amazon, had to buy it because I had to read part of it. It cost over $200 to buy this textbook, and it is still just filled with the bias that we talked about, but also there are major inaccuracies in it, and I guess they've been there at least since 2002, and who knows, maybe long before. So they're putting out these amendments, these later editions, and they still have the same kinds of mistakes in them, and I think that's deplorable. But this is just filled, this one we did, I guess of all roughly the same, is just filled with anti-business rhetoric, anti-American business rhetoric, and pro-government. They like, these authors just love the regulations that government produces. They think that that's what makes the world go round, but that's not what built America. And we saw that. We've seen it twice now. We saw it when Reagan was president, and he deregulated, and he lowered the income tax. And we've seen it again with Trump, who deregulated and lowered the income tax, which means when you get government out of the way, you get tremendous productivity, and ordinary Americans are better off. Rich people may be better off. They may not be better off, actually, sometimes. But average Americans do better when the economy hums along. We have now the lowest unemployment since 1969. And that didn't just happen by chance. It happened because Trump and his people are essentially suspicious of government bureaucrats who want to run the world. So this textbook is basically is all in favor of those bureaucrats and what they've done. And so that's what students learn. But we hope that when they get out into the economy and have to get jobs and start businesses, they will understand that, in fact, people make things happen, not government.
So what are you primarily doing to change this trend beyond education?
Well, we're a small organization. We can't change a trend. I don't think anybody, any one person can change a trend except the president and maybe some senators and very prominent people. What we're doing is chipping away at all little corner of it. We're working on the textbook issue because we think it's important. And we think if people will read a critique of this textbook, they will understand the problem and they will understand how to solve it. And what we hope, they will copy what we have done, indeed steal what we have done, and go do it in a bigger way themselves. We have critiqued one textbook. As I say, you can find it at trueamericanhistory.us, but there are dozens of textbooks out there, and it is our hope to go on and do lots more. But we have to start somewhere, so we started with this particular book, and it's relatively, we've only been up online for, I think, 6 or 7 weeks. And as time goes by, we hope to get more of them up there. But other people could do the same thing. They could get together and do exactly what we have done, find a professor who can write a critique, put it up on the internet, and then advertise it.
Daniel, we're up against a break. Can you hold on and come back with us?
Sure.
We're talking with Daniel Oliver, chairman of the board of Education and Research Institute. Fascinating topic, why textbooks matter and how liberals are rewriting the history that students are learning. We're going to continue this conversation. I'm Russ Jones. You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins. And make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. You can get all of this content there. You can download this show if you didn't get a chance to hear it today or any of the shows we've had this week. You can download them and listen at your convenience. Don't go away. We'll continue talking with Daniel Oliver when we return.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. Good to be with you here today on this Friday. We've been talking about why textbooks matter. We're talking with Daniel Oliver, chairman of the board of Education and Research Institute. Daniel, thanks for holding on. I don't want to delay you too long from picking those apples.
Right.
On a related matter, we're talking about why textbooks matter and the left rewriting history, trying to shape our young minds. You know, we've been watching the confirmation process chaos, and it looks like a lot of that may be coming to conclusion, a favorable conclusion for Judge Brett Kavanaugh tomorrow. And we're getting word about several of these key senators that say they're going to vote in favor of confirmation. But university administrations and students across the country have canceled and marched out of classes this week in protest of Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And I'm just wondering, these walkouts that are taking place, dozens of college campuses from out your way in Vermont to California, UC Berkeley, what is the connection between what's being taught in the classroom and the textbooks, as we've been talking about, and maybe the reaction that we're seeing from the younger generation? So what happened to innocence, innocent until proven guilty, and some of these very basic ideas? It just seems like they're not being taught.
It does seem that way. And of course, the left has switch sides, essentially. The American Civil Liberties Union was founded in order to make sure that people were not convicted unless there was evidence, serious evidence of their guilt. And now they've joined the crazy Democratic senators and protesters who don't seem to care at all about evidence. It just a charge is enough. In one sense, you can't blame the students, although that's a dangerous thing to say. It depends which students you're talking about. Certainly high school students don't know a lot. They don't know a lot about how law is meant to operate. They could read about it if they wanted to, but they rely on their elders to tell them things. If their elders tell them the wrong things, if the senators behave badly, as the Democratic senators have been behaving, you really can't expect young students with impressionable minds, students who haven't thought a lot about these fundamental questions, to do anything other than what their teachers tell them. Innocent until proven guilty, facts, evidence, that's pretty much part of the American tradition. But if they haven't been taught that in school, then you can't expect them to know about it. So while I think we can blame students to some extent, it is their elders who bear the brunt of this blame, and that includes most especially Democratic senators who, in theory, should know better, and obviously do know better. This is all about power. It's largely about abortion. It's about losing control of the Supreme Court, which they've had for about 64 years, and they see that it's now finally slipping away from them, and they're flailing around frantically as the ship goes down.
You know, and the tragedy is, Daniel, I'm sitting a stone's throw from the University of Mississippi in a journalism school there. I've essentially been told I'm too conservative. They wouldn't have me guest lecture there, much less take out the trash. And I teach media and culture online at Liberty University as well. I'm an adjunct professor, and it goes extremely well. And, you know, several years ago, I taught in a community college in Kansas, and one of my best students was an out-of-the-closet atheist, Marxist kind of worldview. And But he wound up taking four classes from me. Four. And he was scared to death the first class. He almost quit. And after the first class, the fourth class, Daniel, he said, "You are my most favorite Christian. You have been the fairest teacher I've ever had." And you know what, Daniel? He was one of my best students. I didn't agree with him a lot of the time, but he did the work. He did the work, and he did it well. And I'm offended when somebody thinks I can't be objective.
Yeah. No, they are. They can't be objective. I guess they assume you can't be. You should ask them if they'd like to have me come out and teach. I was chairman of the Federal Trade Commission under Reagan. My guess is they won't be real keen on having me come and teach.
But isn't that a disservice to our students? I remember when I was in school at the University of Missouri, that's also had a meltdown in recent years, that you could agree to disagree, that you could, the objective was to look at ideas that maybe you agreed with and disagreed with and then make your own conclusions. But that's not the case anymore.
My guess is there may be some situations in which that would still be true, but not in a situation where there is tremendous power at stake. This recent fight over Brett Kavanaugh is about power. It's not about anything else. It's not about truth or justice. It's about power. The power that the court has had to shape America, and not always for the good. And what you see now is there's a piece by, I think it's Nicholas Kristof in one of the, Fareed Zakaria and Zakaria in one of the, in the Washington Post.
We're about out of time.
They're now saying that the court really is becoming useless and there's no longer a valid court. They now have to denigrate the court as well.
Daniel Oliver, thank you so much. You have a blessed weekend. We appreciate you being on Washington Watch. We've been talking with Daniel Oliver, chairman of the board, Education Research Institute. Let's go to the phone lines.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Good to be with you on this Friday. Yesterday was 15th wedding anniversary. Went out to dinner last night, had a good time, and you know, I feel so very blessed. And God is so good, so good. You know, even in the midst of all of these things that are going on in our culture and the contentiousness that's going on, it's easy to get down and to get blue. But you know, as we were talking with Congressman Budd earlier in the show of North Carolina, there are really good people in Congress that love the Lord and doing all they can to serve and make a difference and to pass policies that are in line with our biblical worldview, and that is encouraging. It's really encouraging. So let's go to Pam in Nashville. Hi, Pam. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that since these people that are corrupting and not telling the truth in our textbooks and teaching our children incorrectly, we should start taking our tax dollars away from them.
Well, you know, that's an interesting insight and interesting thought on that. It would take folks, you know, in the school boards. We hear that from Tony quite a bit, not to be complacent and to run for school boards, and that our school boards are good places for folks to start who have good, strong conservative values, biblical values. And you know, until that sort of thing happens, it's hard to make those kinds of decisions. So, you know, it's interesting. I've got four kids, and we know a little bit about this and what's being taught in the classrooms and what's being taught through the various textbooks and whatnot. But that's a very valid point. Do you have kids in schools?
No, I do not. And I'm trying to get to the school board meetings so that I can begin to have an influence, you know, over those selection of the textbooks. I did homeschool my kids from first to 12th grade. So
did you? Wow. How did that go for you?
Yeah. It went very well. I'm not a trained teacher. I'm a paralegal, but I just set my mind to it. And the family had to make sacrifices, and I'm telling you, it was a decision I'm so glad that I made. Both my girls love the Lord, and we chose our books. You know, I studied very hard during the summer, and God just helped me to get it done.
Wow. God bless you. Good for you on that. I appreciate you calling, Pam, and appreciate your support of Washington Watch. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I've been talking about all kinds of things. Looks like, the Senate earlier today voted for cloture, which means that opened up a 30-hour window for debate, and had several people that went to the Senate floor today. We heard from Senator Collins of Maine, who gave a very eloquent speech, actually, 30-some minutes long, laying out like a methodical attorney her argument and her reasoning of coming to a decision that ultimately was that she's going to cast a vote in favor of confirming Judge Kavanaugh. So she was one of the critical senators, three or four, and we also heard from West Virginia Senator Manchin, who says he indeed will vote for Judge Kavanaugh. He's the only Democrat so far. And we're talking about unemployment rate. What do you have to say about the technical skills and the jobs? I have concerns that maybe these needed services are going to be in short supply. Give us a call. Love to hear from you on Washington Watch here today. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to love the Lord. It's a beautiful day to be a follower of Jesus. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to William in Missouri. Hi, William.
Hi, I love your program. And I was sitting there listening to the comments about the school kids. And when my kids were going to school, I sent them for grammar school. I sent them to a private Christian school. And my daughter said she never had to work so hard in her life. And then I sent them to regular public school for high school and stuff. But, they could always turn all these here churches into schools. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we've got a lot of churches that have a lot of space throughout the week. That is for sure. So you're in Missouri, and you sent your kids to a Christian school.
Oh, yeah. And they turned out really well.
Yeah.
Well,
I appreciate you calling. And it is a difficult decision these days for parents, what to do and what are the options. And it's got a lot to do with budgeting and can I afford to send my kids to a private school. But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, can you afford not to take into consideration those options, quite frankly? And we always get a call or two from folks that say, now, I'm a Christian in the public schools. And yes, we are thankful for the Christians in the public schools, but that's a big, big mountain. And thankful for those that feel called to be in the public schools. You are a light often in darkness, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your dedication and your willingness to go there. Let's go to John in Texas. Hi, John.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I think it's really ironic that you've got, I don't know if this is deliberate or not, but two different things on the air today. One is technical skills and the other is textbooks. And the two of them really do link together. And I was calling in just very quickly because my son, we homeschool as well. We started out public school in kindergarten, first grade, and just noticed that just knew something just wasn't right. did not know it was wrong, but just knew something wasn't right, and then tried private school and found out that some of the same problems are in private school. And I'm sure if your guest was still on, he'd say the textbooks that are the information in textbooks in public school spills over into private, and we ended up homeschooling. And that is what we're finding now that I'm employing people and I have other people trying to work for me, is they really can't do anything. And a lot of it goes back to there's so much agenda pumped into textbooks that they really don't ever end up learning anything at all practical. All they learn is their agenda. And I kind of want to get your feedback on that a little bit. And I'll hang on if you want, or just wait for your answer.
Yeah. Yeah, hang on. No, you're absolutely right. You know, as I said earlier in the show, if I had to do it over again, I would have to give real serious thought. Knowing what I know, of course, we always have the advantage of having hindsight, right? of embracing a technical skill of some kind, because now I live and I'm a consumer and I know the services I need. And, I know good people when I see them, good plumbers, good air conditioning and heating people. My grandfather had a sixth grade education in Kansas City. Kansas City's my home. My grandfather had a emergency tow trucking service in Kansas City, and it was a four-stall garage. He had a tattoo on his left arm from the Navy. He had a sixth grade education, but as I've often said, he's one of the brightest men that I had in my world. And you know, he made an honest living. He did a good service, and people would often come by and say, "Irvin, I'm going to get paid here in about 4 days, but I need my truck to run so I can go make money." And you know what? He'd fix the truck. And you know what? That person would be back in 4 or 5 days on that honor system and paying for that work. That's a time and an age that feels like we've lost, isn't it?
Well, it certainly does, and I think that goes back to some of the message in the church that we're not necessarily preaching from the church anymore. I don't necessarily advocate that Scripture advocates capitalism, but some form of earnings where we earn not just that we're not a burden to other people, so we can also be a blessing to those around us. And I've taught now a group of high school kids, or I'm teaching several high school kids right now, about fractions and math and things that they simply did not get in public school. And here they are at 17 years of age, and they can't do fractions. And they say, "Well, what difference does it make if I can just look it up on my phone? Who cares?" Or look it up on a table. Who cares?
Right.
And I said, "You know, let's go out back." And I take them out back. We have a ranch that we live on. And we try and weld, and when you look at a welding rod, something as simple as a welding rod, if you may or may not know what that is, but they're in 16ths of an inch. If you can't do fractions, you can't even get a job as a welder. I mean, you simply can't. So I just find a timeliness to your program, and bringing those two subjects together, whether deliberately or accidentally, is fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it was on purpose. Thanks for calling, Hunter. You know, it's very, very very interesting opportunity, I think, for our young people. And we have a president that knows all about building and construction. So I don't think it's any irony. He knows the importance of these kind of jobs and somebody in that position that's pushing them. Let's go to Christine in Texas. A lot of folks lined up here today from Texas. Hi, Christine.
Hi, good afternoon. So I have a question. With all these last-minute kind of attacks, or something happened to me years ago, can there not be a system, right, where henceforth, today, October the 5th, you're giving kind of a time period to come out to say, "Look, this happened to me 20 years ago by this person, by that person," And so we know, okay, that we're not taking, because I would hate that my husband, 10 years down the lane, because he wants to take some official job, is told, "Hey, because we don't like you, you did this to me about 10 years ago," or my son, or, you know, somebody's son, or, you know, can't we have a system in place right now where all this is going on, and it's like you come out and you say, "This is what happened to me. How many years ago? you know, like a reconciliation time kind of thing. And whatever needs to be done is done, and we listen and we take action on it. And afterwards, if it's a period of a week or 2 weeks or a month to have women come out, or even men who have been, you know, who have also been sexually abused, come out or forever hold your peace.
Mm-hmm. You know, I we do have a system in place, and that was the testifying and the hearings there in the Senate, except there were some other kinds of activity that I think this was used as an opportunity to delay. So, I mean, Christine, you bring up a very good point, and I do think there are some of those checks and balances in place, and certainly the FBI investigations and FBI background checks. He's been through seven of them now. But you also bring up a good point that this kind of contention may very well drive away very good people that can serve the country. Christine in Texas, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Let's see here. Let's go to Lisa in Texas. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Russ. How are you?
I am blessed. How are you doing?
I am blessed as well. I know that we're running out of time, but just quickly, I have four nieces. One graduated from college. The other three are in. I try to tell everybody I know, go get it, a vocational education, you know, whether it's plumbing or HVAC or hairstyling, because the amount of debt and the lack of jobs, my oldest niece, who has already graduated, she has a degree in radio, TV, film, and she's working a minimum wage job working for Apple Support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and not only that, but they've been so indoctrinated at University of Texas by both the politics, which goes back into the other gentleman talking about the school system. So it's like a vocational education would prevent even more indoctrination at a four-year university as well.
it's really hard to politicize a clogged toilet, isn't it? But, you know, probably be somebody that would try to do that. You bring up a great point. Very, very, you know, there's just so many opportunities, so many, many opportunities for this generation. And there are people that I see that have ongoing needs for things that need to be repaired, opportunities that need to happen. And there are great jobs. And you know what? A lot of these people make a really good living. Real quick, let's go to Hunter in Texas. Hi, Hunter.
Hi, Russ. Shabbat shalom. I'll be very brief.
Shabbat
shalom. You know, the other callers, they've all been very, they've been hitting on one thing, and it's about going back to a sense of, I hear about homeschooling. You know, hey, I didn't know how to do it, so I had to teach myself. That's called self-reliance. Not elevating oneself to godhood necessarily, but having confidence in your abilities that God gave you. We've got people that are teaching people how to do fractions. I can't believe we're having this conversation, but we are. But it goes back, and then I thought about, well, what was this circus that we've had with this confirmation hearing? I said, you know what? I started thinking about that Bible verse. Judgment comes first to the house of God. And I thought to myself, you know what? What is the electorate doing? This circus is brought to the American public by us, the voters. And it's like, okay, when are we going to start making time for the school board meetings, for the city council meetings, for county commissioner meetings? I know you can't go to...
Amen. Well, I think, Hunter, we lost you there, but we're out of time as well. Anytime you hear that music, it's the end of our time together. It's been a blessing to be with you here today. From Isaiah, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. My friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we will see you on Monday. God bless you. May He richly bless you.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.